We're holding the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph.
Pei Gimel Amud Aleph.
Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. We learned in the Mishnah a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika and the Chachamim about suppose the Korban Pesach becomes possible because of something involving the owners. For example, the owners became Tomei or died, and now there's nobody available to eat the Korban Pesach. The Tanakhama had said that of course, you have to burn the Korban Pesach. It's possible, but you can't burn it right away there on Erev Pesach. You have to wait until the first morning of Chol HaMoed. It needs Ibur Tzura. It needs to be left overnight. And since you can't burn it on Yom Tov, then that means you leave it over for Chol HaMoed morning. Rabbi Yechon Ben Breka had said that you could burn it on that day on Erev Pesach. So we said...
I'm sorry, you said Pei Beis Amud Beis?
Pei Gimel Amud Aleph.
Oh. Okay.
Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Yeah. So we said that we said Rabbi Yechon Ben Breka says that you could burn it right away. The Chachamim say you have to wait until the morning of Chol HaMoed, till the first morning of Chol HaMoed. What was the case where they're arguing about? So we said in the Gemara, we brought that Rabbi Yosef had explained that it depends whether the tumah took place before or death or whatever took place before or after the zrika. If it took place before the zrika, then Rabbi Yechon Ben Breka would say the meat was never even suitable to be eaten. Therefore, it's considered like a psul begufay, and you can burn it right away. The Chachamim would say that the fact is it's not a psul in the actual Korban Pesach; it's in something external, the owner. But if the tumah happened after zrika, when there was a point when the meat was able to be eaten already, or could have been able to be eaten if he had remained alive or tahor until the night, and now instead he's tameh or he died, and therefore we can't, then even Rabbi Yechon Ben Breka would agree that we have to wait until Chol HaMoed to burn it. That's according to Rabbi Yosef. Then we said Rabbi Yochanan said that no, the machlokas is both before and after zrika, and we said Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that actually you find Rabbi Yochanan Breika of our Mishnah and also Rabbi Nechemiah are therefore saying the same thing, that when you have a psul involving the owners, you can burn it right away. Rabbi Yochanan Breika was saying in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Nechemiah is speaking about the story in Parshas Shmini of the korban that Aaron burnt, that Aaron and his sons burnt rather than eating it. What was the reason why they burnt? It was the Sor of Rosh Chodesh, very much as Man Grama to today. Why did they burn it rather than eating it? Reb Nechemiah holds that it was because they're not able to eat it because they're owning him, so therefore there's nothing they could do with it. The point is, therefore, so it was going to become noiser by the time their aninus is over. So therefore they have to burn it. And since and they burnt it right away, they didn't wait for Ibur Tzura. So you see, therefore, that Reb Nechemiah holds that you can burn it right away when the psul has to do with the owners. So now we're picking up on that. Rabba Moisef, top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabba Moisef Afra B'Yosei Aglili. Rabba adds a third Tana who holds this way, namely Rabbi Yosei Aglili. The Tanya, Rabbi Yosei Aglili, Omer. Rabbi Yosei Aglili is referring back to the Pasuk that we quoted yesterday in the Gemara. The Pasuk says, V'chol chatas sasha yuva midoma el oyel moyed, any chatas where the meat of it is taken into the oyel moyed, l'chaper b'kodesh, to make a kapara in the holy place, lo ye'ochol, such a korban can't be eaten, bo'ish yisar, if it has to be burnt in fire. Now, the understanding that all the other Tanoim have of that Pasuk is, we learned yesterday, that a regular chatas, the blood of it is supposed to stay outside in the Azara. It's not supposed to be taken out of the Azara, but it's not supposed to be brought into the oil moyed either. If it's brought into the oil moyed, namely into the Heichel, then the korban becomes possible and has to be burned. So on the other hand, Rabbi Yosei Aglili says no. Kola inyan koloi eini medaber ela b'porim anisrafim or b'sirim anisrafim. No, the pasuk is actually not talking about an unusual case where you took a regular chatas and took the blood into the heichol where you weren't supposed to. No, it's talking about and then the pasuk is saying it has to be burnt. Rabbi Yosei Aglili is saying that no, the pasuk is telling us about the chatois where you're supposed to take the blood inside. For example, the par helam davar shal tzibur. Or for example, the pyre of a Sawyer on Yom Kippur, where so the Pasuk is telling us that if it was done right, then You're bringing the blood into the heichal to be mechaper, and then we know from other psukim that those korbanos have to be burned outside the machne. But what the pasuk wants to tell you is lisrif psulehen abes habira. It's telling you first of all that if they become posel, then you have to burn them in the bes hamikdash, not outside your shalayim as you usually would. That's number one. And number two, v'litin loisa sa'achilo alachilosan. Number two, the pasuk is also giving you over here by saying loisa ochol, it's telling you a lav that you're not allowed to eat from them. From the other psukim, you would only know that the porim and israfim or stirim and israfim have to be taken outside your shalayim and burnt. You wouldn't know that if somebody ate from them, he's over on a lav. Now, the pasuk v'cholchatos ashayuva is telling us that he is over on a lav as well. And it's also telling us the first thing that if they become posel for whatever reason, then they have to be burnt in the kodesh, namely in the bes hamikdash itself and not outside it. So the Braisa continues, Amru loy, so the Chachamim said to him, how could you understand the Pasuk that way? In that case, Chatas shenichnas dama lefnai velefnim minayin, you also agree that if a regular Chatas, if the blood is taken into the heichel, then the korban becomes posel. Where are you learning it from? If you're saying that the pasuk for chochatas asher yovo midama is talking about the regular standard operating procedure for parim anisrafim or seirim anisrafim, then where are you learning that other chatois that you do that with are going to become posel? Omalahen, so Rabbi Yisaglili answers them, I'm learning that from the pasuk in connection with Moshe and Aaron. When Moshe says to Aaron, Hein lehuva es domar la kodesh pnima, behold, the blood was not brought into the kodesh on the inside, meaning, again, like we said yesterday, that if the blood had been brought inside the heichel, inside the oil moed, then it would, in fact, become posel. From the cloud to e nafik e. Therefore, we learn from that, as we said yesterday, that if the meat of the korban was taken out of the azara, that's we said that pnima. We said the word pnima. We're also understanding to say that it means it has to stay on the inside, namely in the azara. It can't be taken out. So, if the meat had been taken out, inami ayol dama, or if the blood of it had been brought inside, if dama had been brought el hakodesh, either way, b'sreifa, then it has to be burnt. So, Rabbi Yisaglili says that's where I'm learning from that concept that it applies to the other chatois. I'm not learning it from the pasuk v'chol chatos ashayuva. I'm learning it from the story with Moshe and Aaron. Now, the assumption the Gemara is making, the assumption that Rabbah is making is, since Rabbi Yosef Aglili is learning it from that story, now again, with Aaron, he didn't do Ibrut Surah, he burnt the korban right away. Now, but Pashtus, when we say that, Rabbah would understand, therefore, when the blood becomes posel, when the blood becomes posel by having been brought into the heichel, that's not considered a psul de gufay. Because the meat of the korban and the chalav of the korban, nothing happened with them. The psul is only regarding the blood. So therefore, so Rabbi Yosef Aglili would be taking the view then that such a thing doesn't need ibrut surah. You can burn it right away. Therefore, Rabbi says, there you have a third Tana who holds, like Reb Nechemya and like Rabbi Yechon ben Breuka, that you don't need Ibrut Surah when you have a psul machmas davar acher, a psul from some other external factor. We're going to assume for this purpose that a psul with the blood is considered an external factor. Now, the Chachamim are not going to learn from Aaron's korban because, like we said, we don't learn kodshe dodus from kodshe shah. We don't learn korbanos that are going to be brought throughout many generations to come from ones that are brought on a one-time thing on that day, says Rashi. So therefore, so just because on that day we burnt it right away doesn't necessarily show that in the future we would have to do that. Maybe in the future we would need Ibrut Surah. And for that matter, just the fact that it has to be burned alone, even we couldn't even learn from that korban, and we can't even learn from that pasuk, and therefore we need a different pasuk for chochatas asher yovo midama to establish that point. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos says, wait a second, the Surah we're talking about wasn't Kodesh Shah, it was the Surah of Rosh Chodesh that they burned. That's the whole point, is the argument between Aaron and Moshe, according to one opinion anyway, had to do with the question of whether we say that the rules that applied to Kodesh Shah when Moshe tells them, go ahead and eat the korbanos even though you're owning him, whether those apply to Kodesh Dodos. So what are we saying over here all of a sudden that the one they burnt is Kodesh Shah? So Tosafot says that's not what the Gemara means. It's not that the Chachamim don't. It's not that the Chachamim are not learning over there because it's Kodshei Shah. No, what they hold is like we learned in the Gemara yesterday, Hayras Shah Hoisa, that it was a one time Hayra, either because we said before that according to Rashi that Moshe had told them any korbanos, all korbanos that you bring today, you have to eat. He didn't realize that there's a distinction within those korbanos themselves, within the seor of Rosh Chodesh versus the other ones. Or according to Tosfos, that Aaron himself came up with the Hayrah, because after all, the whole concept of Ibrut Sura hadn't been given yet. Whatever the case, the Chachamim say you can't learn from that to future generations that you shouldn't need Ibrut Sura. Okay. Tosfos also, by the way, goes on to mention that according to the Chachamim, we might even say now like this, we always learn that eventually once Aaron pointed out to Moshe what he had done and why he had done it, then the Pasuk says, Vayishma Moshe Vayita Be'enav, Moshe heard and it was good in his eyes, implying that, as Rashi says on the Pasuk, that he agreed with Aaron and said publicly that he made a mistake and he had forgotten that. But actually Tosfos says it might be that there's still a detail that according to the Chachamim, that maybe Moshe didn't agree with Aaron. He tells Aaron, okay, you burnt the korban, and you were right in doing that after all, because you're owning him and you can't eat it. And even though you could eat kodshei shah, you can't eat kodshei dodos. But not necessarily do I agree with this, that you burnt it right away. The Chachamim would say, maybe in fact, Moshe would tell Aaron, maybe in fact you should have, as a matter of fact, because it's a psul b'bailim, because it's a psul having to do with you rather than the korban itself, you should have waited until it had ibrut sura before you burnt it. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, the point is that Rabba is saying so we see that Rabbi Yosi Haglili also says that a psul b'bailim, you burn the korban right away. And since he's not making a distinction between before Zrika and after Zrika, actually the Gemara doesn't spell that point out, but Tosfos says that Rabba evidently holds that there's no distinction about that. So therefore, so you see, there's a third Tana to add to Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Yechon ben Berakha, who holds this way. Their Rabbi Yechonan. Now, what would Rabbi Yechonan answer to that? He knows of that Braisa as well. So why didn't he include Rabbi Yosi Haglili? He would say, no, Damo Sava, he holds, Damo Vosu Chodamilsi. No, the blood and the korban and the meat of the korban are both considered the same thing. Any psul with the blood is considered a psul begufay. So it's as if the meat itself became tummy. Bailam Miltachrisi, the psul involving the owners, where the owners became Tomei, is something else. So I can't agree, says Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Yosi Haglili, just because he says that if the blood became possible, then you burn it right away, that he would say that the same thing applies if the meat you're assuming that once he says that, it means he would say the same thing about the owners. Not necessarily. He would say that if the blood or the meat becomes tomei or posel, then you burn it right away. But if the owners are tomei, then you still have to need ibrut sura. Okay. Mishnah says ha'atzamos, the bones of the korban. What do we need to burn when we said that you need to burn before we talked about when the korban became posel that you have to burn it? But we know also that there's things left over from the korban after you eat it. So ha'atzamos, the bones. Now you can't break bones of the korban pesach, the etzem loisish b'rabai. But we're talking about bones over here that contain marrow. So therefore, yeah, that marrow does become noiser. V'ha'gidin, and also gidin, we'll see in the Gemara what kind of gidin we're talking about. V'ha'noiser, and regular noiser, in other words, just regular meat of the korban pesach, which could have been eaten, but they didn't bother eating it in time. All of that, yisofu v'shisha aser, all of those have to be burnt on the morning of the 16th of Nisan, which is the first day Chol HaMoed. As we're going to learn in the Gemara later on, you can't burn them on Yom Tov. Chal tes zayin lias b'Shabbos. What if the 16th comes out on Shabbos? Then, which we don't have that kvius nowadays. We have the rule loy b'du Pesach, that Pesach, the first day Pesach can't be Friday. Therefore, the second day can't be Shabbos. So yesh omrim that even in the times when they were mekadesh al pi ra'iya, they would make an effort to avoid that. And therefore, our Mishnah is not necessarily talking about an actual case that could happen, just hypothetically, if it did. Yesh Omrim, that when they were Makadosh or Piyariya, then they didn't bother with that, and you could have Pesach start on any day of the week. Anyway, Chal Tes Zayin Lias B'Shabbos, if the 16th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, then you can't burn it on Shabbos either. You sow for B'Yud Zayin, then you burn them on the 17th of Nisan. You have to leave them over another day. Lafisha ain't a doichen, lois haShabbos, lois yomtiv, because burning them is not doich haShabbos or yomtiv.
Well, it's basically a smelly yomtiv.
I guess it's basically a smelly yomtiv. Yeah. I guess maybe keep it outside, maybe so it doesn't, just so the smell doesn't permeate your house too much, or put it under ice or something. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yep.
Outside, the animals will enjoy it. All right.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara says, now we're talking about the bones over here. Let's focus on that. Amar of Mori Baravua Amar of Yitzchak, Atzmos Kodshim Shashimshu Noiser, bones of Kodshim, which served Noiser, in other words, which contain marrow inside them, which then becomes Noiser, Metamina Sayadayim. Those bones, if a person handles them, they're metame his hands, midrabanan. Now, noiser, we're going to learn at the very end of our Masechta, the Chachamim made a takana that noiser is metame a person's hands. We're going to learn over there why, but that's how it is. Noiser is metame the hands. So now, these bones that contain shashimshu noiser, that you couldn't break them because ve'etzem le'yisish b'rubay, and you have marrow inside them, then they're metame your hands when you handle those bones. Hoyol v'nasu bosses the davar aser, because they become a basis for the davar aser. In other words, there's a davar aser inside them. So when you're handling the bone, in effect, you're handling the marrow inside it, which is noiser. So the Gemara says, name a Messiah. Eh? So can we say that we can support what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying based on our Mishnah? We said, Hatzamas v'aginim v'anoiser yisofer l'tazayin. We're saying that the bones... We're saying that the bones and the gidim and the noiser have to be burnt on the 16th of Nisan. Now we have to figure out haniat samas hechidami. What kind of bones are we talking about? Ilema de lesbahu moyach. If we're talking about bones that don't contain any marrow, lama b'sreifa, then why do you need to burn them? Nishdinu, you should just be able to throw them away, because the pasuk tells you have to burn what's left of a korban, but it doesn't say, but only the parts that you could eat. If you can't eat bones, and if there's no marrow in them anyway, then there's no reason you have to burn them. Obviously, we have to be talking in the Mishnah about bones that contain marrow. So if you were to say, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that shimush noiser, the fact that they contain marrow within them, is considered something important, so now we would understand why those bones need to be burnt, because since you can't break them open and get out the marrow, therefore you have to burn them. And that's why the Mishnah would be listing them separately. Noiser means regular meat, which you could equally well have eaten and you just got lazy or whatever and didn't. Atzamos would be, if there's no choice, you have marrow in them, which is normally by most korbanos is edible. And by the Korban Pesach in principle, it's edible also. You have no way of getting at it. So the Mishnah would list the bones and say that you have to burn them. Tosfos points out, by the way, later on, the Gemara talks about that we're going to have on Pei Dalet or Pei Hei or so. The Gemara brings up the hypothesis. Maybe you would be able to take a coal and like burn your way through into the bone and then get out the marrow. But first of all, the problem with that is you might end up that it might be too hot and the bone will split open, and then you have been over on Shviras Etzem on breaking the bone. Besides that, also, it's a big tircha to do that. So we're not bothering you. We're not going to bother you to do that. So anyway, so if we understand that, if we take up Rabbi Yitzchak's concept of Shimush Noiser, then we understand why those bones require burning. Eli amat shimush noiser lav milsi. But if you were to say that shimush noiser doesn't mean anything, just because they have marrow in them doesn't mean anything. In other words, they're not considered connected to that marrow at all. And we would say also later on, we say in the Gemara that the issur of breaking a bone in a Korban Pesach only applies to a kosher Korban Pesach, not to a posel one. And here now this marrow is posel because it's noiser. So if we were to say that, lomalahu srefer, then why would we need to burn those bones? Nitbrinu, we should be able to break the bones open. V'nachlat salamoyach didhu, we should be able to take out the marrow. V'nisrefe, and burn it. V'nishdinu l'didhu. and throw away the bones, because now the bones are not serving any purpose. And that way we don't have that with the point. What do we gain by that? Rashi says we gain that now we don't need to use a huge amount of extra wood to burn the bones. Bones take a much hotter fire to burn than meat does. So if we had to burn the bones, it would mean we'd have to be using a lot more wood. So we gain by that. If we say that we don't have to do that, we gain that we don't have to do that. Evidently, then, the Mishnah must be implying to us that Shimush Noiser is considered something significant. So, in other words, what happens is, so Rabbi Yitzchak had mentioned it in terms of Tumas Yadayim. Since these bones contain marrow in them, therefore the bones are matama your hands when you touch them. But we could also say that fits with what the Mishnah is telling us, that therefore those bones, even after the korban becomes noiser, nevertheless, the fact that those bones contained marrow inside them until the time it became noiser means that now those bones have to be burned. So then, in other words, we should be able to use the Mishnah as support for Rabbi Yitzchak. Amri, so the Yeshivalite answered, Loi, not necessarily. La'olam emalach shimush noiser lav milsa, not necessarily. It could be that shimush noiser is not really anything significant. The fact that there is noiser inside them doesn't make the bones themselves be considered noiser. V'kasava boy b'kosher v'afilu b'pasul. What we could say is Reb Yitzchak maybe holds that. Not Rabbi Yitzchak, but rather the Tana of our Mishnah might hold that when the Torah tells us about a Korban Pesach, the Etzem Lo Sishburu Boy, now the word Boy on the face of it is a miut, but it would mean Bekosher, so it would mean that it applies to a Kosher Korban Pesach, Va'afilu Apostle, but that it applies actually even to Apostle one. In other words, we wouldn't say that the word Boy is coming as a miut over here, it's just that the style of the Pesach, so the Etzem Lo Sishburu Boy, but it means in it, meaning in the Korban Pesach, regardless whether it's Kosher Apostle. So therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah maybe holds that even after the korban became noiser, you can't break open the bones to take out the marrow in order to burn it separately, because then you'd be over on ve'etzem lo sishburu boy, which applies even to apostle. But that doesn't necessarily show that the bones themselves are considered noiser to the extent that we would say, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that tumas yodayim applies to them. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? I feel of apostle, sakadaidach. What do you mean? That how could you think that the Tana is saying that you're chayev for breaking a bone from a korban Pesach, even if the korban was apostle? V'hatnan, we learn in the next Mishnah, if a person leaves over from a tohar, actually two mishnayos from now on Peidal Amud Aleph, if a person leaves over meat from a korban pesach that was tohar, or if he breaks a bone from a korban pesach that was tamei, he doesn't get malchus. So you see that, again, as the Gemara often does, it assumes that all the Mishnayos, one after the other, all come from the same Tana. So therefore, we see clearly that he's saying that you only chayev for breaking a bone only if the korban was kosher, not if it was tamei or posel. So then obviously in our Mishnah, it has to be the same thing. So the only reason to understand why would you have to burn the bones rather than breaking them to get out the marrow would have to be b'pashtus, because shimush noiser, because even the fact that they had noiser in them until chatzos, or until whenever the korban pesach becomes noiser, makes it that those bones themselves are considered noiser now, which is exactly what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying. The Gemara says, still loikasha, not necessarily is that a question. Kansha hoisale shasa kosher, kansha lo hoisale shasa kosher. Because we could distinguish between those different kinds of posel korbanos. Where it had a shasa kosher, it had a time when it was korban, when it was kosher, namely the regular case of noiser, where the meat could have been eaten and wasn't, or in this case where you had marrow of it, which fine, it couldn't have been eaten because you can't break open the bones, but at least it's there, the korban as a whole was kosher, then we would say that the din of shviras ha'etzem applies even after it becomes noiser, as opposed to when it didn't have shasa kosher, namely, let's say it became tomei before the blood of the korban was bechlal sprinkled, then we would say that the Tana would say that there's no Isser in breaking, that there's no, at least no Chi of Malkus in breaking a bone from it. So therefore you could say that yes, our Mishnah is saying that you can't break the bones of it even after Chatzos, because it's not because of shimush noiser, but not because of shimush noiser, but because the iser of breaking a bone applies to any korban Pesach that was kosher, even though now it's noiser and it's not anymore. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchak is telling us a different din, that the bones themselves, amatama your hands, not necessarily is that supported by the Mishnah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Uman tana deshoni leben choy soloi shasa kosher, leloi hoi soloi shasa kosher. Okay, so you're telling me you want to draw a distinction between whether there was a shasa kosher or not. Which tana do you find says such a thing? The answer is Rabbi Yaakov. We find where Rabbi Yaakov holds of such a distinction. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Ve'etzem loy sish beruvoi, don't break a bone in it. So what does the word boy mean? It means boy b'kosher v'loy b'apostle. So the Tanakama starts by saying that it means only in a kosher korban Pesach, not an apostle one. So if the korban is apostle, then you can break bones and there's no problem. Rabbi Yaakov distinguishes hoysalei shasa kosher v'nifsal. If the korban had a period when it was kosher, namely, for example, a regular korban Pesach, which became noiser afterwards, and then it became posel, yesh ben mishum shvira se'etzim, then the issue of breaking bones applies. Loy hoysalei shasa kosher in ben mishum shvira se'etzim. If it didn't have a shasa kosher, then there's no issue. For example, it became tummy before the zrika, then then there's no issue of breaking a bone in it. So we see that the distinction that we wanted to make, that the Tana would hold, we would say, okay, the Tana of Or Mishnayos here in Andaf Pei Daled holds like Rabbi Yaakov. The Mishnah, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Shimon Oymer, Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh, Ein Bei Mishum Shvira Se'etzim. Rabbi Shimon says, either way, there's no issue of Shvira Se'etzim. Now, Tosfos asks, isn't Rabbi Shimon saying the same thing as the Tana Kamma? So Tosfos explains, sometimes what you have is, the Tana Kamma is not really arguing. The Tana Kamma is telling us a generic statement. Then you have later Tanoim that are arguing what exactly the original Tana meant. So in this case, he said in general, B'kosher v'loy b'posel, and now you have a Machloikas Tanoim in a later generation, Rabbi Yaakov versus Rabbi Shimon, what kind of posel are we talking about where there's no Isser? Do we mean only a posel where it had no Shasa Kosher, or do we mean any kind of posel? So it's not really repeating what the Tanakhama said. Rabbi Shimon is not really repeating what the Tanakhama said. He's just clarifying. He's saying, I say that when the Tanakhama says B'kosher v'loy b'posel, he means whatever kind of posel it is, as opposed to Rabbi Yaakov, who says only if it didn't have Shasa Kosher. Okay. The Gemara says still, Meisvi. I have a contradiction to this, though. A Braisa says, Kol atmas hakodshim ain torn in sreifa. Any bones of kodshim do not require burning. You can just take out the marrow and then throw away the bone. Chutz me atmas haPesach. Except for the bones of the korban Pesach, because again you can't burn them because of etzem lo sish b'rabai. And the reason is mipnei takola. Because of takola, because you might end up being over on the itz of the isser of etzem lo sish b'rabai. So again, we have to figure out hayat somas hechidami. What kind of bones are we talking about? Ilema de lesbuhu mayach, like we said at the beginning of the Gemara, if we're talking about bones that don't have marrow, lomelahu strefa, then even by the korban Pesach, you shouldn't need to burn them. Ela pshita de isbuhu mayach. Obviously, we're talking they contain marrow. Now, the isakadayat shimush noisa milsehi. If you, Rabbi Yitzchak, are going to tell us that shimush noisa is significant, meaning, in other words, that as long as they contained marrow, at the time when they became noiser, then they're still, or even they contained marrow at any point, then they're still considered noiser. Atmas kodshim amai ain chun and sreifa. According to his logic, why shouldn't the bones of other kodshim need sreifa? Because after all, they are noiser as well. They were shimush noiser. They had marrow of kodshim inside them. So that means that they themselves should be considered noiser based on Rabbi Yitzchak's rule. And yet the Braisa is telling us that not. As soon as you break them and take out the marrow, then we're not worried about them anymore. So why? The answer is Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Hoch Mayaskinen Gunchamotz and Chalutzin. So Nachman Yitzchak says the case we're talking about over here has to be where you found the bones already broken and the marrow extracted. So Atzmos kodshim de ein behen mishum shviras etzim. So when it comes to bones of other kodshim, since there's no issue of shviras etzim, so we can assume kame de nevu noisa chatzinu. So we can assume that whoever took out the marrow did it before it became noiser. So in other words, the marrow never became noiser. So there never was any shimush noiser involved. Rabbi Yitzchok's rule is shimush noiser. If they would still contain the noiser, if they still contain the meat of the korban at the time when it became noiser, then those bones are considered noiser as well. But here, with other kodshim, we have every right to assume that the marrow was taken out before they ever became noiser. So therefore the bones never accomplished shimush noiser in the first place. So v'loy habo shimush noiser. So there was never any shimush noiser. V'loy bo sreifa. So they don't need to be burned. Atzmes haPesach diyesh ben mishum shviras etzem. Only when it comes to the bones of the korban Pesach, because you have an iser to break bones in it. Therefore, we have to assume levaser denevu noiser hu dechatzinu. We necessarily have to assume that the marrow was extracted, that they were broken open, and the marrow was extracted only after they became noiser. Because fine, if we're going to say. Fine, we could say that we could say, unlike what we were saying before, that bekosher v'lo bepasul, that once they become that once they become pasul, maybe you're allowed to break them. So we can assume, like Reb Shimon, that you're allowed to break them afterwards. So therefore, v'havalu shimush noiser. But what that means is, in other words, they were still containing the marrow at the time. At the time when they became noiser, ubo sreifa. So therefore, they would require sreifa. So there's no contradiction to Rabbi Yitzchak, because other korbanos, there's no reason to assume that the marrow stayed in them until it became noiser. Only by the korban Pesach do we have to assume that, since you can't break them before it. Marsha points out also, by the way, that if we say shimush noiser lav milser, if we say not like Rabbi Yitzchak, the fact that the bones contain noiser doesn't mean anything. Once they don't contain noiser anymore, then you can throw them away. Then okay, we could say like Rabbi Yaakov, we could say that since you can never break these bones because the korban had a shasa kosher. But now that we're saying that you could break them afterwards, that could only work according to Rabbi Shimon. But therefore, that requires us to say so therefore that requires us to say that shimush noisa milsehi, and therefore that they do have to be burnt. So that's all of Nachman Meitzchok's answer. Then Rav Zvid gives a different answer. Hachab Maya Skinan. Again, we had a braisa that says bones of other kodshim you can throw away, but bones of the korban Pesach you have to be burnt. Bones of the korban pesach you have to keep mipnei takola, because of takola, because otherwise you might break a bone in it. So again, Rav Nachman Yitzchok had said that we're talking about over here, you found a bunch of bones with the marrow extracted. So therefore, the other kodshim, we can assume it took place before they became noiser. So only the korban pesach can mean not, because there would have been an iser to break the bones. Rav Zvid gives a different answer. Suppose you found piles and piles of bones. You found, let's say, you started checking the bones on top. You found that they had the marrow extracted. So some of them, you checked the top layer and found that the marrow had been removed. So now, do you have to check the rest of the pile to see whether there are any that haven't had the marrow extracted in order that you can take those bones and burn them? So again, atzmas kodshim de'en bam mishum shvira satzim, when it comes to bones of other kodshim, given that you're allowed to break bones in them, so therefore there's no need to check the bottom ones. You can assume once the top ones have been extracted, then probably all of them have. And therefore, since there's no iser to break a bone in them, we can assume that whoever broke the top bones also broke the rest of them and ate all the marrow. So now you don't need to do anything with the rest of this pile of bones. You can just leave it as it is and assume that all the marrow was taken out, and therefore there's no noiser to burn. So therefore it doesn't need to be burned. You can just throw them away. But when it comes to bones of the korban pesach, where after all the issur of shviras etzem applies, we have to be concerned. Dilma hani dechaltzinu. Maybe he only removed the marrow from these ones on top. There's ones on the bottom maybe which he didn't. So therefore, you wouldn't need to burn them. So in other words, Rashi says, Rav Zvid's, the point of Rav Zvid's argument with Rav Nachman Yitzchok is like this. Rav Nachman Yitzchok had said that if you find them, that if you find the marrow removed, then you may, with the Korban Pesach, you may have to assume that it was done after the time when they were osir. Therefore, there was shimush noiser, and therefore you have to burn those bones. Rav Zvid says, I'm not going to go that far. Shimush noiser is not such a serious thing that we're going to have to say that if you find bones, you have to assume that they were broken only after the time when it became noiser, and therefore have to burn those bones, which again, like we said before, takes a lot of extra firewood or whatever. Rather, we can say maybe the person was over on the iser and broke them before chatzos, and there was never any shimush noiser. But Rav Zvid would say, when you find, but what you do have to do then is, you, when you find a pile of bones like this, you do have to check through the whole pile to see if there are any that are not, that are, that, to see if there are any that have not been opened up. And if there are, then those you have to burn. As opposed to, when it comes to other kodshim, you wouldn't need to check through the pile in the first place. Once you find the top ones have had the marrow removed, then you have every right to assume that that all the other ones have been removed as well. Now that's according to Rashi. Marsha asks on Rashi actually that, wait a second, why should we assume that he removed the marrow in before that he was over on the issur of Shviras Etzem and removed the marrow before Chatzos, just in, or according to Rav Zvid, just in order to make it that he shouldn't have that misafik, he shouldn't have to burn these bones he found. Wouldn't it be a much more logical thing to say, if you find bones of the Korban Pesach with the marrow removed, isn't it much more logical to assume that it was done after Chatzos, like we said before, and therefore that there was shimush noiser and have to burn it? So Marsha says that Marsha says that Rav Zvid may understand that when we say in the Braisa Mipnei Takola, now we understood that it meant that you're not allowed, that Mipnei Takola means that you might come to break them. He would say, in other words, that he would say I'm not arguing with Rav Nachman Yitzchok on the din. I'm saying, practically speaking, if you find a bunch of bones that have been broken open, then there's no takola. Because then obviously they were all broken already. So therefore, there's nothing more for you to break to be over on. If we're saying that there has to be a case where there's a problem of takola, that could only be if you find some of them whole, and necessarily therefore, and since we hold like Reb Shimon that the issur doesn't apply after they become noiser, then therefore he would say there's no choice but to say that some of them may have been broken open before the zman. And so yes, somebody was over, but the fact is, therefore, that's reason enough for us to say that therefore you shouldn't have to burn these bones misafik. So that's that. So the bottom line is that we have this concept of shimush noiser. We said not necessarily does our Mishnah support it, but Rabbi Yitzchok brings it, and we do say that shimush noiser is significant. Therefore, those bones are matame the hands. Therefore, if they were still containing marrow when it came chatzos, then you need to burn them. If not, if a person was over on shviras etzem and broke them before chatzos, then you don't need to. And when it comes to bones of other kodshim, you don't need to at all, because you can just break them before they become noiser in the first place and take out the marrow. Okay, moving along then. We said in the Mishnah that gidim also have to be burnt during Chol HaMoed. So now let's talk about gidim. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, kol ha-gidin boser, all gidim. Now, gidim in Gemara terminology is a bit of a generic term. It includes blood vessels, it includes nerves, it includes tendons, it includes even, we have the male gid. It means basically the word gid means anything long and cylindrical, kind of, is called a gid in Gemara terminology. So kol gidin bot. So all gidim of the animal are considered meat, meaning, in other words, that you, so first of all, what it means is they're going to become noiser if you don't eat them in time. But also what it means is, Rashi explains that when you register for the Korban Pesach, the person who's putting the group together is going to assign to you, okay, now that you registered and you paid your portion towards the Korban Pesach, Pesach, then I'm going to be then I have to calculate now how many kazaisim of meat are there in this animal in order to be able to give out to each person a kazais, so we can include the gidim in that calculation. So if we find that the animal contains 500 kazaisim, including the gidim, keep in mind the Korban Pesach is a young animal. It's a sheep or a goat under a year old. So many of the gidim, we're going to learn about this tomorrow, that many of the gidim and many of the other things that are in the body of the animal, that which are very hard when the animal gets older, are still soft at this point. So therefore, you can register for those. You can register for the Korban Pesach and end up eating a kazayis of gidim and you'll be yotze. Chutz mi gidei tzavar, except Rav Yehuda is telling us, except for the gidim of the neck. You have a very long, broad, you have a very long and wide gid over there that during in life the animal uses it when it's turning its neck. That's very hard, even in a baby animal. And therefore, that's just considered like wood, so you can't be nimna on it. You can't count that towards the kazesim of the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see if that works with it. The Mishnah had said, Ha'atzomisva gidim va'anoisu yisofu b'tes zayin, that bones and gidim and noisu have to be burned on the 16th. So hai gidim hechidami. What kind of gidim is the Mishnah talking about? Ilema gide boser. If we're talking about soft gidim, which are embedded within the flesh, nichlinu, then you should eat them. What do you mean that automatically you're burning them later on? And if they're left over, hainu noiser, then that's exactly the same thing as noiser. So the Mishnah already tells us that noiser you have to burn. So that includes anything which you could have eaten and then just got lazy and didn't. So obviously the Mishnah, when it says gidim, can't mean gidei boser, ela pshita gidei tzaver. Evidently, therefore, it has to be the Mishnah is talking about the gid of the neck. So, iamet b'shlema boso ninu. So, if you tell me that those gidim are considered meat, in other words, if a person eats a kazayis of them, he is yotze, then, but the fact of the matter is, people are usually not going to eat it because it's very hard. I'm too lahochi boisrefa. That would explain why it needs to be burnt as noiser, because it could have been eaten after all. You could have eaten it and been yotze with it. You didn't, because it's hard and most people don't eat it. So evidently, that's if we say that you could eat them. Eli amat lav boson ninu. But if you say that those gide tzavo, that those gidim of the neck are not even considered meat, lama lahu srefa, why do you need to burn it at all? Again, the same way as we said before, that you shouldn't even need to burn the bones and if they don't contain marrow. The same way over here, we should say you don't need to burn the gid of the neck because not edible either. So why is Rav Yehuda telling us that? Rav Yehuda is telling us that the gidei tzaver are not considered part of the meat. You can't be yotze. But in that case, why is the Mishnah telling us that you have to burn them? Amar Rav Chista. So Rav Chista answers, the gid that we're talking about in our Mishnah, when we say that you have to burn gidim, we're not talking about gidei boser, because you're right, those are soft and you can eat them with the meat. We're not talking about gidei tzaver, because yeah, those are hard. And Rav Yehuda is telling us that. You don't need to do anything with them. What we're talking about is lo nitzurcha el gidan nosha. What we're talking about is as far as the gidan nosha, which now why? So again, the gidan nosha is not something that you're allowed to eat anyway. So why do you need to burn it? But va'al libe de Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer ein noyeg ela ba'achas. Rabbi Yehuda says that the whole issue of gidan nosha only applies to one leg of the animal. And which one? He learns from Sukkim over there that it applies to only one. That it applies to only one. To only one leg of the animal. Vadas machras shoyamin. Das tells us that it means the right one. The Gemara in Cholin discusses what does Rabbi Yehuda mean by that. What kind of das does he mean? The Gemara uses the expression das Torah. In other words, a das based on a drosha from a pasuk that it means the right one. Or is it? He means das note. He just means logically, if you're going to say that it applies to one leg, then logically it applies to the right leg. Now the Gemara talks over there about a machlokes about what positions were Yaakov and the Malach standing in when they wrestled, and therefore that would affect the question of whether it was Yaakov's right or left hip that was dislocated. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying it only applies to one. Therefore, we're saying that the other one. So now we have to figure out, though, one second. Again, we're saying that there's two ways of understanding Rabbi Yehuda. He can say das, das, when he says a das machras shoyimin, he could mean das Torah. He could mean I have an actual drosha from a pasuk that it means only the right one. Well, in that case, then he has no suffix. So in that case, the right one you shouldn't need to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the right one you shouldn't need to burn because you can't eat it anyway. It should be like the bones, just which you can't eat, and automatically you and you can just throw them away, like the bones without marrow. The left one, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could eat, and if you don't eat it, then it's going to be no so like any other meat. So if we understand Rabbi Yehuda that way, then we still don't have a way of understanding what the Gidim are in our Mishnah. So the Ela Tifshit is the Pukim Masapkele Rabbi Yehuda. So in that case, would that mean if we're going to understand our Mishnah when it says Gidim to be talking about the Gidah Nosha, can you should you be able to answer that from that? That when Rabbi Yehuda says a das machras, he doesn't mean das based on a pasuk, das Torah, he means das based on human logic. Well, in that case, human logic is not always so valid. In other words, he has a suffix. Logically, it means that it should be the right one, but after all, I could be wrong, and it's the left one. So evidently, therefore, it means that Rabbi Yehuda has a suffix. De mifshet pshitale, if you were to say Rabbi Yehuda knows for a fact that only the right one is osur, hahi dehetera nechle, then the one that's mutter from the left leg, you'd be able to eat, or de isur nishadye, and the one that's osur, you'd just be able to throw away, because you can't eat it bechlal, lomalei srefa. Why would you need to burn it? So if we're going to say that the gid of our Mishnah means the gid anasha, then that would force us to say that when Rabbi Yehuda says it's the right one, that's also, he doesn't mean 100% for sure. I know that only the right one is also. He means logically the right one is also, but I don't know that 100% for sure. The answer is not necessarily, the Gemara says, Amar of Ikka bar Chanina, G'gan shahukru ol v'soifnis arvu. You could answer, maybe Rabbi Yehuda knows for a fact, based on a drosha from Pesukim, that only the right one is Osir. But let's say, for example, afterwards you mix them. Afterwards they got mixed up. Now hukru, Rashi says you don't really need the word hukru over here. Of course they were recognizable originally. Everybody knows the difference between right and left. But the main point is, well, safeness avu, later on they got mixed up. So you have two gidanoshes, or do you have two gidanoshes, or two thighs containing the gidanosha, whatever, in front of you? You don't, well, the thighs actually, you would be able to tell. Okay, you have two pieces of meat that you can't tell now easily which side it came from. Each one contains a gidanosha. Even if Rabbi Yehuda knows for a fact that only the right one is osur, still you're going to have to take out both those gidanoshes because you're not sure now which one was from the right leg and which one was from the left leg. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that you have to burn both of them, even though it's true, one of them you should have been able to just throw away. But that was if you knew that this one was the right one, then you could just throw it away. Since you don't know, then therefore, and it could be the left one, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would have been allowed to eat, then therefore you have to burn it with the rest of the noiser.
So there's one that you could actually throw away and not burn, or you have to burn everything?
Well, that's what we're saying. According to the Chachamim, that both of them are osur, on the face of it, you should be able to throw away both of them. And according to the Yehuda, that only the right one is osur, you should be able to throw away only that one. Because anything that you can't eat to begin with, you could throw away. The same way as we said that bones that don't contain marrow, you can throw away. And the same way as Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rav, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, that is telling us in the name of Rav, that you can just throw away the gid of the neck. You don't need to you don't need to burn it. Or actually, what he says, he doesn't say anything about burning it. He says that you can't eat it and be yotze the korban pesach. But the Gemara asks, in that case, the implication would be that you could burn it. So anything that you can't eat from it, you could and that doesn't contain marrow or whatever. Yeah, you could throw away. But again, so the Gemara is answering over here that we could say, Rabbi Yehuda says, I know for a fact, based on Psukim, Das Torah, as the Gemara calls it there in Chulin, that you're not allowed to eat the right leg, Gid Anosha, but you are allowed to eat the left leg one. However, in this case, they got mixed up and you can't tell which one is which. Therefore, you have to burn both of them because one of them would have been able to be eaten until you mixed it up. Okay. Rav Ashi Yomar. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Lo nitzrucha ela l'shamnei de gid anosha. We're not even talking about the gid anosha itself. When the Mishnah says that you have to burn the gidim, we don't mean the gid anosha itself. The gid anosha, you're not allowed to eat. Therefore, you could just throw it away. We're talking about the fat around the gid anosha. So that's mutter min haTorah. It's only an issur that people would know you're getting it. D'tanya, as we learn in a braisa, shamne mutter, the fat around the gid anosha is in principle mutter. The Yisro k'doshim hem, but the Jewish people are holy. The noyagin bo isser, and they're noyagin isser in it. So therefore, since it's mutter to eat min haTorah, so it becomes noiser. But you can't can't really consider it regular noiser because the fact of the matter is you can't eat it. You can't eat it in the first place because of this minig Yisrael. So therefore, the Mishnah mentions gidim separately, meaning not the gid itself, but rather the fat around the gid. By the way, you have a machlokas in this connection, by the way, between the Rambam and the Ravid. We mentioned it before. Whether do you, when you roast the Korban Pesach, do you leave the gidanosha and the fat and all of it inside there while you're roasting it and only take it out afterwards while you're eating? The Rambam says yes. The Ravid says absolutely not. How could you ever eat a Korban Pesach that way when it's absorbing taste of Isser? So there is in fact a bit of discussion about this. Let's finish this part of the Gemara, and then we'll talk about some possibilities about that. But anyway, Ravina Amar, Ravina gives a different answer. B'chitzain, we could be talking about the outer nerve. In other words, when we say in the Mishnah, the question is, again, we're trying to figure out what we mean by gidim in the Mishnah, that on the one hand you can't eat them, but on the other hand, they're still considered noiser, and you have to burn them. So because if it was the actual gidah nosha, given that you're not allowed to eat it in the first place, then there's no reason you should have to burn it. It was never something that was meant to be eaten in the first place. If you say, like Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that you can't eat the gidim of the neck, same thing. So, and if we're talking about gidei boso, you could have eaten them to begin with. So then they're just like regular meat, and they should be like regular noiser. So that's why we're talking about something having to do with the Gidah Nosha. So again, we could say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, we're talking about one of the Gidah Noshas that got mixed up with the other. According to Rabbi Ashi, we're not talking about the Gidah Nosha at all, but rather the fat around it. Ravina Oma Bechitzain. Ravina says we could be talking about the outer nerve. Now you have, there's different opinions among the Rishonim. There's an inner nerve, there's an inner nerve and there's an outer nerve. So which one, what those mean in modern, in modern terms, there's a bit of machloikas, there's a machloikas about that among the poskim. You have, there's the actual sciatic nerve itself, which runs down the leg. You have something called the peroneal nerve, yeshoimim, that's the gidachitzon, yeshoimim, that there's a different nerve that branches off from the gidanosha, which is the chitzon. Anyway, so the like Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Beis Gidin Hain, on each leg of the animal, each thigh of the animal, you have two Gidin. Pnimiyah Samoch La'etzem Osir, the inner one, which is closer to the bone, is Osir. V'chayavan Olav, and a person has Chayav Malkus for eating it. That's the one that the Torah says, Al-Kain La'yoichlo B'nei Yisrael, as Gidan Osher. And then there's Chitzen, as Samoch La'basir. Then you have an outer one, which is closer to the flesh of the animal. It's closer to the outside, in other words. So that kind, osir, that one is also osir. The ein chayav an olav, but you're not chayav malchus for it, because that's not the one that's osir midaraisa. That's not the one that's only osir midrabanan. So you have a nerve over there, which you can't eat to begin with because of an issur drabanan, but daraisa you would have been able to eat it. So therefore that's the one that the Mishnah is saying you have to burn on the 16th, because daraisa you would have been able to eat it, and therefore it becomes noiser. But on the other hand, drabanan, you can't eat it, therefore the Mishnah lists it separately. So now, an interesting point on this question is, how are we saying over here that you're, going back to Rav Ashi's answer about the fat around the Gidah Nosha, we're saying that Nagu Bo Isser, but how do you have a minhag that prevents you from being Mekayim, a Din D'Araisa? Mela, if the Chachamim made something Osir, then you can say that, then you can say, okay, they're able to make a Takana, and say that this is not edible, and therefore it's going to become Noiser. But how does that work with the Yisroel Kedoshim Nagu Bo Isser? So you have a couple of answers about that. The Minchas Chinuch says that even so, even though it's only a minhag Yisrael, nevertheless, the Chachamim still approved of that minhag. And since it's only a Shev Bal Tasa, they're not telling you to actively override something which is also in the Torah. They're just telling you passively, don't eat this fat, even though Daraisa would be Mutter. So therefore, it ends up becoming Noiser, but that's fine. The Chachamim have the power to do that. The Chofetz Chaim actually learns. The Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Likutei Halachos, which is kind of like a Gemara. It's kind of not really Gemara. It's kind of like a riff, sort of, on the Halachos of Kodshim. He took the discussions in the Gemara and boiled them down to give the actual Halacha based on the Rambam, based on other Rishonim, and then wrote a Pirush on it. It's called Likutei Halachos. So he actually learns that, in fact, that according to Rav Ashi, you wouldn't be able to eat the fat of the Gidah Nosha, but he learns that Ravina would be arguing with Rav Ashi. Ravina is not just giving a different answer here in the Gemara of what the Giddim are of our Mishnah. He's actually arguing on Rav Ashi's premise that you can't eat the fat of a Gid Anosha. And he would say, and he says this is how the Rambam holds as well, that in fact you could eat it. That in fact, even though normally Yisro Kedoshim Nagu Bo Yisro, but in this case, because there's a mitzvah in the Torah to eat as much of the korban as possible, therefore that overrides that Minig Yisrael, and therefore you do in fact eat that fat. Which again ties back in with that machlokas of the Rambam and the Ravid, whether you roast the Gid Anosha with the Gid, whether you roast the Korban Pesach with the Gid Anosha inside, where the Ravid says absolutely not. How could you? It's going to absorb taste from something that's usur. According to the Chofetz Chaim's way of understanding the Rambam, in fact, there is no isur in that fat. In this case, the minig of not eating the fat is overridden by the fact that you have a mitzvah to eat all of the korban. Okay. The Mishnah had said, so again, the bottom line is we have various ways of understanding the Giddim of our Mishnah without necessarily having to say that it means Gidei Tzavo. You could indeed say the Gidei Tzavo, the Giddim of the neck, are taka very hard and you wouldn't eat them, and you can't be Yotze, you can't be Yotze eating the Korban Pesach by eating those. But as far as burning them, when the Mishnah is saying Giddim, not necessarily would you have to burn it, because since it's hard like wood, then therefore there's no reason it was never meant to be eaten in the first place. The Giddim of our Mishnah, again, either means one Gid Anosha according to Rabbi Yehuda, or it means the fat of the Gid Anosha according to Rav Ashi, or it means the part of the Gid Anosha, which is only also the Rabbanon according to a different Gid, whatever, that's only also the Rabbanon according to Ravina. We said in the Mishnah, Chal Tes Zayin B'chula, we said if the 16th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, then you have to burn it on the 17th. And we said that you're not that burning Kodshim is not Deucha Shabbos or Yom Tov. So Vamai, now why not? Nesi Esse V'yid Chalois Esse. You have an Esse to burn Kodshim that became Noiser. You have a Lois Esse not to do Malacha on Yom Tov. So, and we know that Esse is Doicha Lois Esse. So why isn't the Esse of Ba'esh Tisreifu Doicha the Lois Esse of doing Malacha on Yom Tov? So Omer Chizkiya. So we learned this already a couple of times in Shabbos. So Chizkiya says, V'chein toni dvei Chizkiya. We also learn in a yeshiva in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rav Chizkiya, that the reason is Omakra, the pasuk says by the Korban Pesach, V'lo yisei siru mimenu ad boker, don't leave any of it overnight. Anything that's left over of it until the morning, burn it with fire. Now, she'en tamad loyma ad boker. Why does the pasuk happen? The pasuk didn't have to repeat the word ad boker. It could have said, lo yisei siru mimenu ad boker, v'hanoisim mimenu, whatever's left over of it. At that point, ba'esh tisreifu, you burn it. Ma tamad loyma ad boker. So why is the Torah adding the words ad boker, litan loy boker, sheni l'sreifasei, to tell us that there's a second morning on which you burn? In other words, it becomes noiser the morning of the 15th of Nisan, but you can only burn it the morning after that, the 16th. So the pasuk itself is implying with those extra words, ad boker, that you can't burn it on Yom Tov. So that's one way of learning it. Abaya Omar. Abaya says a different way we can learn that you can't burn Kodshim on Yom Tov. Omar Kro Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbato. The pasuk says the Oila of Shabbos has to be brought on Shabbos, meaning the Korban Tamid and the Korban Musaf of Shabbos is brought on Shabbos. We learn from that, V'loy Oilas Chol B'Shabbos. We learn from that that an Oila that was brought on a weekday, you're not allowed to take the remaining pieces of it, the Murim and Evorim and whatever, and burn them on Shabbos. V'loy Oilas Chol B'Yom Tov. Or similarly, if a Korban was brought on weekdays, you're not allowed to burn the fat and the Emurim and whatever of it on Yom Tov. So we see that even the burning of Kodshim that are on the Mizbeach, the burning of fats of Kodshim that are on the Mizbeach, is not Doicha Shabbos of Yom Tov if they're not a korban from that day. So Alachas Kama V'Kama then, burning Posel of Kodshim, and after all, the Pesach was brought on a weekday because it was brought on Erev Pesach, which is a weekday. So therefore you can't burn it on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. You have to wait until afterwards. Rava Omar, Rava says a third way you can learn it, that you can't burn them on Yom Tov. Omar Kro Hu Levada Yosalachem. The pasuk says that you're allowed to do Malachas Oichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. it alone can be done for you, and the word hu and the word levade are both miyotim. So hu v'lay machshirav. The word hu means that you can't have the machshirim, you can't have the prerequisite steps for preparing food on Yom Tov. You can't do on Yom Tov. So you have, for example, we're going to learn in Masechta Beitza when we get to it, Bez Hashem, that there are different kinds of malachas of food that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to do the pre-malachas that you could have, the earlier malachas that you could have just as well done before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. Actually, Rashi over here and in various places is learning that that would mean that that's Daraisa would be also. There are various Rishonim, including the Rambam, I think, who hold that that's only Drabanon. Whatever the case, the point is, for example, let's say you're allowed to cook food on Yom Tov, but let's say, for example, you're not allowed to. So let's say, for example, you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov in order to have it to eat, but you're not allowed to, let's say, sharpen the knife because that's something you could have done before Yom Tov. So those kinds of things are not doichi Yom Tov. We learn that from the word hu and levadoi, and we say the word levadoi means v'loibish mila shaloibizmana, means to exclude mila shaloibizmana, which otherwise, if you didn't have that word levadoi, habam kavachomer, we would have thought to make a kavachomer that mila is always doichi shamus, even when it's not bizmana. So Rashi teaches out the kavachomer that we would have used based on the Gemara and Shabbos, that we know that if a person has tsaras, they can't do the avoda. We also know that the avoda takes place on Shabbos, but mila is doicha tsaras, because if a person has a tsaras on his orla, then you cut off the orla and the tsaras with it, and that doesn't matter whether it's the eighth day or even later. So therefore, so you would make a kavachomer and say that. You'd make a kavachomer, therefore, and say that mila, whether bismano or shaloi bismano, is doicha Shabbos. So instead, the pasuk levadoi comes and tells us that not. So now, when it comes to brunin kodshim, that's like a mila shaloi bismano, because you don't have to do it dafka today. You could do it the next day. So therefore, it would be like mila shaloi bismano, and therefore, we'd learn from that that it's not doicha yom tov. Tosfos actually says that this kavachomer that Rashi is bringing, Rava him, we're talking according to Rava in the Gemara over here, Rava himself in Shabbos slugs up that kavachomer and says that you can't do it. So therefore, so we have to be talking about a different kavachomer over here. So Tosfos talks about a couple of other possibilities. One is that maybe oichel nefesh, there aren't so many brises, there aren't 13 brises about it, and it's doicha yomtev, so alachas kam v'kam mila, even shaloi bismana, maybe it should be doicha yomtev, and again, we need the pasuk levadre to tell us not. Okay, Tosfos tries another possibility, nedorim and Davos are doicha yomtev, even though there's not 13 brises on them. Alachas kama v'kama, alachas kama v'kama mila. So Tosfos goes through several different possibilities of what the kavachomer that Rava is saying that we could have used, were it not for the word levadoi, what we would have said that we would have thought that mila shaloi bismano is doicha Shabbos. But once we have the word levadoi and we say that not, then that means also that burning kodshim is not doicha Shabbos or yomtev either, because it's like mila shaloi bismano, you could just as well do it the next day. Rav Ashi says a fourth reason why burning kodshim is not doicha Shabbos or Yom Tov. All this time we were assuming that we're dealing with only an eser burning kodshim versus a lois eser of doing malacha on Yom Tov, and therefore we needed different reasons in order to exclude that. Rav Ashi says, never mind all that. Shabbosin de Yom Tov eser. Every time by the Yom Tovim it says that you need to make that day Shabbosin, a day of rest. That constitutes eser. That constitutes an eser to rest on that Yom Tov. Well, the ain't essa, doicha lois essa v'essa. We know a general rule that an essa does not override a lois essa and an essa. So therefore, to not do malacha, when a person does malacha on Yom Tov, he's over on an essa and a lois essa. And therefore, the essa, brunin kodshim, cannot override that. And in fact, the Rambam understands like that last one, because he, in Sefer HaMitzvahs and in Yad HaChazaka, when he did in Hilchos Yom Tov, he puts over there for each of the six Yom Tovim, you have an Esser to rest on it and a Lois Esser not to work on it. So each Yom Tov is an Esser and a Lois Esser, and therefore the Esser of burning Kodshim can't override that. You have to burn the Kodshim, therefore not on Yom Tov, but rather on Chol HaMoed. And again, if the first day Chol HaMoed is Shabbos, then you burn them the second day Chol HaMoed.